Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Alec Torres of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. And no, Jim's absence is not St. Patrick's Day related. But, Alec, we're glad you're here nonetheless. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. We start with the good for conservatives. And, Alec, this latest prognostication, at least of the current state of the U.S. Senate races here in 2014, coming from Larry Sabato in the University of Virginia Center for Politics, couldn't be much more optimistic for Republicans. Right now, he says that there's a net pickup of 4 Senate seats. South Dakota is definitely going to switch, he says. West Virginia, Montana, and Arkansas are all leaning towards Republicans. And he says the next 6 most likely seats to switch, some are toss-ups, some still lean Democratic, are all democratically held seats that Republicans have a shot at. North Carolina, Alaska, Louisiana, Michigan, Iowa, Colorado, there's your top 10. Georgia and Kentucky are the next 2 on the list. Those are 2 that Democrats have a little bit of a shot at. And then the next 4 are also democratically held seats. So while there's still a lot of work to do, you couldn't ask for the table to be set much better for the GOP to get back the majority this year.
It's a glad perfect storm for the Democrats, and it's a great opportunity for the Republicans. Not only are all these seats the ones that are open, but it's placed at a midterm election, which is always when the opposition party does best. One thing to remember, though, is the Republicans really have to pick up this election and do well and consolidate gains, because 2016 is when it starts looking bad. So, you know, and that doesn't stop the fact that 2014 is good, but in 2016, I want to say upwards of 20 of the states that are up are Republican held, including Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio, Arizona, Florida. They're Republican-held seats right now, but ones that can potentially switch to Democrat, especially if they have a good candidate that brings out the vote. So great opportunity here, but we have to take hold of the opportunity for it to really be lasting.
And so you want a buffer zone because, as you pointed out, 2010 was a great year for Republicans, and all those seats are up in 2016. So, and a lot of that will depend on the presidential race in 2016. But as far as 2014 goes, it looks like the Democrats are definitely the ones playing defense. And if nothing else changes in terms of Obamacare or Keystone Pipeline and a lot of other things, could be a good year for Republicans, especially when we've already played ads the last couple of weeks of people running against the Koch brothers, both in Louisiana and Alaska. So if you're already throwing out those cards, it's pretty tough to run on your own record. But we'll see how it all plays out here. But I'm guessing from your snicker there, Alec, that you think that if those are the tactics now, we're in for some even more creative campaigning later in the year from some of these Democrats.
You get Harry Reid on the floor, and his biggest tactic is attacking the Kochs. I mean, if your main line is to target individual U.S. citizens and pose yourself, it's not even your opponent that you're posing yourself against. It's an individual U.S. citizen who is donating to all sorts of causes to U.S. citizens in this matter, but still individuals. I mean, they're really running out already. It's midway through March. The election's in November. There's only so many times they can attack the Kochs before people are going to get tired of that line. And who do they have next?
On to martini number 2 now, and we saw the vote in Crimea yesterday, to no surprise, almost unanimous, the people there wanting to be annexed by Russia. And this, of course, comes after John Kerry's attempt to put off that referendum in Crimea. Now we still have Russian troops eyeing and licking their chops on eastern Ukraine, where a lot of the energy is. There's other reports out today that the fact that there wasn't much resistance in terms of Russia's attempted takeover of Crimea, that perhaps some of the Baltic states are in danger now, and this is all potentially part of Putin's effort to reconstruct the old Soviet Union. That could be negative thinking, or it could be exactly what we're looking at here, or somewhere in between. The president made a very brief statement following the results of the Crimean election. His statement came this morning. Here's an edited version of what he says the U.S. is doing about all this.
As authorized by the executive order I signed 2 weeks ago, we are imposing sanctions on specific individuals responsible for undermining the sovereignty, territorial integrity, and government of Ukraine. Second, I have signed a new executive order that expands the scope of our sanctions. As an initial step, I'm authorizing sanctions on Russian officials, entities operating in the arms sector in Russia, and individuals who provide material support to senior officials of the Russian government. Third, we're continuing our close consultations with our European partners, who today in Brussels moved ahead with their own sanctions against Russia.
nobody, I don't think, is suggesting that this is an easy problem to address, but the idea of going after just a few individuals and promising further consultation with European allies, I'm not sure that's changing the equation much in Moscow.
We're just stuck between a rock and a hard place with this one. The targeted sanctions against individuals should just be part of a broader strategy to deal with Russia, and as of now, it seems like it's the only part of our strategy. As so many people have said before, it seems like Crimea is lost. They had the vote. We call it illegitimate, but barring a military action against Russia, I don't see Russia getting out of there anytime soon. So the problem that I'm seeing and the biggest worry that I have going forward is that the U.S. and particularly President Obama haven't seemed to make any real hard indication that they're going to defend the rest of Eastern Europe against incursions. I mean, Poland must be quaking in its boots right now. Not only did we reject that missile deal a few years back when we were trying to go forward with that wonderful reset with Russia, I haven't seen any talks about restarting it or putting them back in. We're leaving Putin an open field there and kind of hoping for his good graces.
On to martini number three now, Alec. And this one kind of flew under the radar last week because we had a lot of other stories, including the missing Malaysian jet, which is dominating every newscast and has for a number of days. And that's the issue of the U.S. government quietly giving up control over the internet. The Washington Post reporting that the U.S. officials are planning to relinquish federal government control over the administration of the internet, a move that pleased international critics but alarmed some business leaders and others who rely on the smooth functioning of the web. The change would end the long-running contract between the Commerce Department and the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. You know, we have frustrations with our government perhaps clamping down on speech in certain cases, but if we think our government's bad, leaving it up to, I don't know who would step in here, whether it's the UN or other major powers that certainly don't offer the same sort of speech rights. I think people on the right are more concerned about than people on the left on this, Alec. What's your take here?
There's only one country in the world that has something like the First Amendment, and it's the United States. Look just about anywhere. I mean, is China going to regulate this well? Will Russia regulate it well? Even if you put it in the Europeans' hands, all the time you hear reports coming out of Europe of banning certain hate speech, quote unquote, and enforcing a political correctness or a certain secularist ideology. So even in the next most free area of the world, you do not have the same protections on free speech as America has. A lot of this came out of the hullabaloo over the NSA spying and things like that. Everyone's saying, oh, the U.S. government can't be trusted. It's a non sequitur. If you put the choice out to just about anybody who cares about free speech between the Commerce Department and some other foreign government or foreign agency, I don't care how bad you think the Commerce Department is, and I'm sure as hell no fan of the Commerce Department, but I choose the Commerce Department.
And so when it comes to the attitude of the administration here, do you think this is another example of not seeing America's leadership role in the world in an updated way? And when it comes to the web, do they think we're just one among the community of nations, or are they just thinking something else here?
There's definitely an idea that America isn't exceptional in this, that we don't have some sort of prime right or prime obligation to be running the government. I also see this as a way to make nice. It goes along with the whole Obama foreign policy doctrine of personal relations and being amicable and building up trust as opposed to managing things by a sort of international balance. You know, it may not be fair, if you want to put it that way, that only one country, and that only one country is the U.S., is the one that has control of the internet. But is it best for the world, and is it best for the United States? Absolutely.
Yeah, and we'll see where the control over this emerges. That's one of the unclear things here, is where the authority goes from here. I guess we'll find out. We'll find out if the things we say and write still end up online. Hopefully they will. So, Alec, as always, great to have you with us. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. You too, Greg.
Alec Torres of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim and I will be here on Tuesday. Join us then for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.